Winning Chris 97.3 The Fan. Tony will be back tomorrow. We have a regular in-studio three-hour show tomorrow.
That's right.
From 2 to 5. The final hour tomorrow will be the replay of the roundtable. Padre Roundtable gets underway at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Don't be late. Among the things we will discuss, the 4-2 loss today to the Metropolitans. A frustrating loss, if there ever was one, in my mind.
Two frustrating losses this year.
You're not wrong. 2-1 Monday night was also frustrating.
They got thrown out three times at home plate in the first two innings.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Doesn't happen very often, if ever. Today, they just were 2-for-12 with the RISP, which means they had chances every time. And they had two huge double play grounders that just killed them today, including the last one, which did not allow Fernando a shot to swing the bat one more time. Fernando had an RBI double today, but that was as much as he could contribute. And the Mets won the game despite, God, their pitching was so bad. How many – do you have the box score there?
I do.
How many pitches did the Mets throw today, and how many were strikes?
How many?
Okay. I bet you it wasn't a very good percentage.
All Mets pitchers?
Like all of them, yeah, because they all struggled to throw strikes, every one of them.
Let's see here.
What do you have there? Pitches, maybe 140 pitches, something like that?
Stock through 83, so 83, 96.
Doesn't it say it at the bottom, or you have to add it yourself?
It's on MLB.com. It's like 130, 140
all
pitches.
Right. That they threw total.
Total, but yeah.
Does it say how many strikes?
I got to add that up separately.
Right. But I bet you it was no more than like 70. Like, they were behind in the count all day. And the Padres just could not come up with the big hit.
Lavender had 9 strikes out of 9 pitches.
No, he did good. And they gave him the win. He was the one guy that actually came in and threw some strikes. Out of 130-something? No, that's more than I thought. Okay.
Let me do the math again.
I just didn't think the pitching of the Mets was very good today.
Well, they walked a lot of guys.
Right? Walks, hit by pitch, but just 3-0 counts.
153 pitches total.
And 90 strikes. So 60% strikes from a major league team.
Which is not great.
No. It's embarrassing.
It is.
Shouldn't lose that
game. I mean,
you
want to know what's... Hey, I don't want to call it embarrassing, but Michael King threw 100 pitches and only 63 of them for strikes.
Yeah. He hasn't had the same... he's the ace... And, you know, he does what he does, but he's not had the same command this year. He just hasn't.
He hasn't. You're absolutely right about that.
Happy Hour brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans for 20 years. The baseball season, yep, it's in full swing. So is swim season. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now. Mention the word radio. That'll get you 20% off new service plans in 2026. All right, we're finished up the Big Five. You had two.
And I have one more.
One and a half, and yours.
Yeah,
but I got a really, really. It's not a weird story. What is the best word to describe this? This is not deja vu. What's something when it's just really strange happenstance?
Coincidence.
Okay, a little bit. You'll get it when I tell you.
All right.
Number one.
What do you have first?
This is, we've been talking about this over the years, but every time the NFL is training camp and they do these joint practices, there's always a massive fight.
It's the rule.
It is the rule.
Yeah. I think when the team shows up, like the Broncos open up the Bengals come into scrimmage with them. And I just think they make a deal. Let's just have at least two or three fights.
And they always go, well, it's the first time they're getting to hit someone else.
And, but the coaches have to take some of the responsibility for this. Because at least in my way of thinking, the coaches have always, I don't want to say they've encouraged the fighting, but I've never really heard a coach come out against it. It's like, I want to see that my guys really care and they're in there to scrap and fight and they won't give an inch.
Well, if a star player ever gets hurt one day, you're going to see that.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like
I do.
That whole macho thing, I feel like the coaches perpetrate some of that. Yeah.
And I don't know why, but Dan Campbell just popped in my head as a guy who celebrates this.
Get in there and bite that kneecap while you're down there.
That's the Saints and Cowboys had this happen, and this was actually like
this got out of hand.
Yeah. This got to the point where they were really, really fighting. Instead of just fighting during a training camp, they were actually fighting. But
isn't it funny too when all the coaches start coming in with the whistles?
Like, the players are not going to stop.
Shut up.
And then the fake referee have.
Don't hit me. Why not? The coach is blowing his whistle there.
Yeah, it's
didn't
over.
You hear it?
It's over.
Yeah.
And then you have the fake referee trying to break things up as well, which doesn't always work. But they were fighting. Obviously, the Saints and the Cowboys got in a fight. Lewis Riddick of ESPN had this to say about what he would do if he was a GM of a team.
Responsibility for acting like idiots. That's not what you're out there for. Like, dude, look at this. You're squaring off like it's UFC. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, honestly, if it was a player that, honestly, for me, I didn't think was going to be a meaningful contributor to my football team, I'd be cutting people left and right. Honest to God, I'd be going, look, get him out of here, because it's proven nothing. Doing that kind of stuff proves nothing.
All right, so we heard what he had to say.
Yeah, whatever,
Lewis. I like Lewis Riddick. I think that he's pretty smart. He's a no-nonsense guy.
I don't disagree with him, but he's being ridiculous.
What part? Because my part was...
Wait, you just start cutting everybody on the team because they got in a fight?
He said cut people that aren't going to be meaningful to his football team. So basically what people out there are saying is if you're a bad player, you get cut for this. But if you're a good player, you get celebrated for this. Basically, I wanted to ask...
Where's the part where you agree wholeheartedly with Lewis Riddick then?
Where do I agree with him wholeheartedly?
You think it's good that he just plays favorites and if you're a terrible player, you're cut?
No.
And if you're a good player, you're celebrated for fighting?
I think if your quarterback throws a punch, I don't know that you cut him.
The quarterback?
Yeah, if a quarterback throws a punch.
Were quarterbacks in this?
No.
Saints-Cowboys?
No,
I've never seen a quarterback.
Yeah, okay, that's a bad example.
The quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys, man. They're under law. You can't touch them.
Kirk Cousins was very upset either yesterday or the day before because his elbow kept getting touched during practice. And he said, that could really hurt.
Kirk Cousins, the rule in the NFL in training camp is if you're wearing a red jersey or some sort of alternate jersey, it's there because you're not to be touched.
Yeah.
It's the same rule in the regular season of the NFL.
Yes. It is. Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant practice.
No,
oh, definitely.
In a regular season game, they don't let him touch the quarterback anymore either.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes wears red, so it makes sense, huh?
Yeah, right. Patrick Mahomes can't be touched. We know that.
The Chiefs are, that's it for the big five. The Chiefs are, I think, going to be a lot better than we are giving them. They're kind of flying under the radar.
Well, 6-11 isn't going to happen again with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Come on. Patrick Mahomes is too good for that, and it showed.
You're probably
without him, they were 6-11. What does that tell you about how good he is?
Tells you that he's
pretty
probably,
damn good, because with him,
MVP
they're 15-2. Stuff like that.
All right, what was the story that shocked you?
I think this is quite the coinkydink.
I like that
word. You ever heard that word?
Oh, yeah.
Coinkydink
oh, yeah.
For coincidence?
Oh, yeah.
All right. What is the biggest story in entertainment this week? It's a sad story.
Is it the Hayden Panettiere?
It's really sad. The death of Hayden Panettiere. The 36-year-old former actress from... among other shows, the NBC drama Heroes.
People love this show. I never watched it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
And I thought Hayden Panettiere was quite good.
Because she was a
superhero, cheerleader.
Right?
They were all superheroes. They were normal people who had superpowers, and they finally banded together to do whatever they had to do.
Okay.
Her superpower, if I recall in the show, was that she was indestructible.
Okay.
So basically, she could, if need be... drive her and somebody bad person into a wall, they would die. Nothing could happen to her.
That's her superpower.
All right. Hayden Panettiere, really sad story, died at the age of 36. She grew up in Southern California. The show Heroes was filmed in Southern California. There were two actors in the show who had recurring roles on that show. Their names were Matthew John Armstrong and Ashley Crowe.
Matthew John Armstrong. That name sounds familiar.
Well, it shouldn't, but it will in a moment.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't recognize them.
Matthew John Armstrong and Ashley Crowe had a young son in Southern California at that time. He went by the name of Pete Crow Armstrong. Ashley Crow, Matthew John Armstrong. Their son was Pete Crow Armstrong.
Wow.
Hayden Panettiere babysat Pete Crow Armstrong.
Really?
Pete Crow Armstrong told NBC Chicago in 2022, Hayden Panettiere babysat me. I had the biggest crush on her. Well, yeah, duh. I'd say she was she's very cute. I'd say she was probably the coolest one for me.
I can't even imagine having Hayden Panettiere as my babysitter.
Yeah, he's babysitter.
I mean, that's actually really sad for PC.
I'm sure it's all sad. Of course, it's sad for everybody. But you talk about a coincidence of things. I mean, Pete Crow Armstrong is like the biggest deal in Major League Baseball now.
That is wild, actually.
That is an incredible connection there.
I think that was well worth what you
I told you the names of his parents backwards so that you wouldn't figure it out.
Well, I didn't.
All right. But Ashley Crow was his mom, right? Matthew John Armstrong. That's right. So he goes by the name of Crow Armstrong because his parents both had different last names.
And I think his mom is the mom in Little Big League. Little Big League.
Ashley Crow. She's an actress. And so is his dad. So they were both on the shows with Heroes Heroes with Panettiere.
Her superpower, you were right, it was regeneration, but it was also it was regeneration even after death, which is...
So she died in the accident and then came back?
And then came back.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty cool superpower.
Similar.
That's a pretty cool superpower.
She did have a cool superpower. It was a cool show. It was a very good... You know what Heroes was? To me, it was very similar to a lot of shows that are on now on, you know, Netflix and Hulu and whatever. The streaming shows. They have a really interesting story that is new to everybody. And you're like, okay, I like this. I'm intrigued by it. But then they really don't know what the hell to do with it when it goes like 7 or 8 episodes in and you're now introduced to all the characters.
We're talking about Heroes?
Talking about Heroes.
Okay.
But I think Heroes was a lot like these are a lot of the shows that I see now. I tune them in because it's something new and interesting, so I want to see it, but then it never knows what to do.
That is true. I'm a big fan of American Horror Story. It has like 13 or 14 seasons.
Yeah.
And they try... It's very similar. For the first 3 or 4 episodes, it's all great. They're setting everything up, and then they don't know how to do it. And that's a lot of shows, like you just said. I mean, shows now, they're trying not to copy other shows, but at the same time, there's not many ideas out there.
Running out of ideas. Breaking Bad, to me, is my all-time favorite show. I think it's incredible. I don't think the last 2 or 3, maybe the last, well, there's a couple great episodes near the end. But the end episode, the very last ending, tie it all up, wasn't that satisfying necessarily.
It's hard to end stuff.
Right. It's a great show, though. It never changed. Same for Better Call Saul. It was okay. The end was good, but it wasn't off the charts.
And McKee says the tagline was, save the cheerleader, save the world.
Yes, she was the cheerleader.
And
I do remember that now. Save the cheerleader, save the world. That's right. M, you're right.
Oh, yeah. Dominic says something that's very true. That's what happened to Lost back in the day.
Lost was so good, and it finally actually just jumped the shark in the last year or so because nowhere to go.
It had nowhere to go, and then woke up, and it was a dream.
Yeah.
I can't stand that.
No, that's no good.
You can't do that in this day and age. You can't make a show that it's all a dream.
Let me tell you something. Lost is an all-time show because of the way they told the story. It is now done in almost every show where you flash back and flash forward.
You do.
No show had ever done that before, Lost. So it gets credit for developing something that is huge now.
Yeah.
But you're right. By the end of Lost, they were lost. They were just lost.
They were totally lost.
They were lost, but the show was incredible nonetheless.
J.J. Abrams was good in that.
J.J. Abrams, he was the one who invented
Lost. Oh, he was the producer.
Lost.
He was the producer of
Matthew
Lost.
Fox was
Matthew
the
Fox,
main guy.
Correct. And then Evangeline Lilly became famous because of Lost.
Yeah, she did.
All right.
Anyway, very sad, the whole thing with Hayden Panettiere, but an amazing connection that Pete Crow Armstrong's parents were on the show and that she babysat him.
Ah. That is kind of crazy.
It's
sad.
I saw this. I'm like, that can't be true. But apparently it is.
I got one story, Chris.
What do you have?
We're going to have to rethink how we do our first segment now because we've moved the clock. And so I didn't have enough plan for our segment.
Yes,
here.
These segments are long
so
now at the beginning.
We're going to have to replan how we do things. But
yeah, it's long at the beginning.
There was a dad that actually Brewers number 17 prospect, Sawyer Strawsnyder. He hit his first career homer in High A, Wisconsin, and the dad was there watching, obviously. So he walks into this private party area, and the people are like, hey, did you know this was a private party? He goes, yeah, but this is my son at the plate, and he's going to hit a home run. And so what happens? He hits the home run. Guess who catches the ball? His dad catches the ball.
Wait, he was in the box?
He was, no.
In the private box.
Yes, and they told him.
And the home run came to the private box.
In the outfield, and he said, my son's going to hit a home run. They said, all right, let's see this.
They'll let you stay?
Yeah.
So he just walked into some private box?
Which is weird.
Okay.
But it's also a high A game, so I don't know how private boxes are.
Oh, it's a high A. Okay, it wasn't a big league game.
No, it was not a big league game. But still, I think it's crazy that this dude was standing in the right place at the right time and called that his son was going to hit a home run and then caught his son's home run. He actually has it on his phone, videoing it. And as soon as the ball comes, you just see the phone fall to the floor, and I'm pretty sure it broke.
Yeah, I like it.
Not good?
Yeah, no, I like it.
Okay, let's go to break.
Josh Baez is now 0 for 18.
The guy who hit 3 home runs in his first 3 at-bats?
I think he did drive in a run yesterday on a sack fly, but yeah, it hasn't gone well since the 3 home run debut.
That's baseball in a nutshell.
Baseball's crazy. 22-0 Brewers. Tonight, Mariners get 4 in the top of the first. There's another crazy baseball for you.
That is.
22-0 Brewers last night. Mariners 4 in the first.
You got to think that maybe they were just embarrassed.
Baseball's just way too weird.
Very weird.
Kind of like our show.
Yes.
Stick around for more of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show soon.
Search for Ben and Woods on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and listen on demand to the full show or hour-by-hour breakdowns from 97.3 The Fan.
Happy hour continuing with the permission of Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
5 o'clock hour, that's the joke there. Scraby's got the Chronicles coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Excited by that.
You are?
Yeah. Don't want to take away too much of your thunder, but I'll maybe steal a little here.
Okay.
Mets over the Padres today, 4-2. That snapped the Padres' series winning streak at 3. They could have gone 10 games over 500 today. Would have been the first time since May 24th. Instead, they're back to 8 games over. And... yes, the Diamondbacks won. They beat the Bo Sox in extra innings 7-6 tonight at Fenway. So, back to a one-game lead for the wild card. Coming home, off day tomorrow. Twins and Pirates next up. By the way, is Skeens on the list to pitch here next week? I would think he would be based on the fact he started today, but... the question mark is now whether Skeens will be healthy or whether the Pirates will, you know, use him. He's never pitched here before.
He's never pitched a Petco, for sure.
No.
I bet it's
on the schedule right now. I bet it says Skeens right now. The question is whether that'll hold up.
Yeah, Skeens is supposed to face, according to ESPN, probable pitchers for Tuesday.
Right.
Skeens versus Michael King.
Yeah, next Tuesday. So we'll see if Skeens is really in there. Jackson Merrill, 2 strikeouts today, had 4 last night. I don't know if anybody even noticed it. It went by quietly.
I didn't notice it.
Padres won, all the Fernando heroics last night, et cetera. Jackson striking out for 4 times, only a 2nd time in his career. And then today had 2 more. So Scraby goes to me, he goes, don't tell me the bad Jackson's back.
Yeah, is the bad Jackson back?
We don't want bad Jackson.
I can't watch bad Jackson.
No, we need good Jackson to return quickly. Luis Camposano walked twice today. Why is that noteworthy? Either he or Fermin, in other words, a Padre catcher, has now reached base in 31 of the last 32 games. Do you remember the Padre catcher position used to be just an automatic out?
It was a black hole.
Yeah, 31 of the last 32 games, they've been able to get on base. So I like that. Manny Machado did break the home run drought last night. He had gone 20 games without one, which was kind of quiet because he'd been on a hot streak, and then 20 games went by before he hit the home run last night to break that streak. Of course, today, Padres lose 4-2. 2-for-12 RISP was the big frustration. All right, let's get an update for Joe Musgrove, because I think a lot of us feel like he's pretty close. That's kind of what I had been led to believe, right?
All signs are pointing to that.
Signs are like, hey, he's kind of okay, back maybe soon. Kevin Acey says not yet in the Padre newsletter today. Scrape, do you want to go through some of it, or do you want me to?
You can go through it, but I just want to say, like, Joe Musgrove has been impressing people because he's been clock throwing harder than he did before the surgery.
And didn't he go like 90 pitches, 70 pitches?
Yeah,
he went
a ton of pitches. I know that he said they raise it 15 pitches or so each time, and if he's at 70 or 80 pitches, they're not going to do it again. So it seems like he's close.
Well, according to Kevin Acey's newsletter, which we have now, Scraby kept recommending it to me
for years,
for a long time. Now I'm reading it every day and recommending it to you. Go to the San Diego Union Tribune. Isn't it free?
It is.
Yeah, as long as you get the UT.
No, I think it's free regardless. You just go sign up on the San Diego Union Tribune page. I would have to double check.
I don't know
that.
Because I don't know if I can sign on to the paper for free. Well, you don't get the paper for free. Nobody gets the paper for free.
Yeah, but this isn't a paper article. This is like an additional newsletter offering.
Got it. Anyway, whatever the case is, I have access to it right here because it's in my phone.
Okay.
And as of yesterday, the Padres apparently are still determining whether Musgrove's next start will be in AA or AAA.
That's not what I thought.
Kevin Acey goes on to say virtually every sign had been highly encouraging. But the Padres apparently feel no need to rush him after acquiring Mize and Ray, Casey Mize, Robbie Ray. They do have a fairly, pretty intact five-man rotation right now.
Yeah.
But I still think you've got to give Musgrove some time. You know that we know this, but when I remind you of this, you're going to be like, wow. Musgrove's last game was game two of the 2024 NL Division Series against the Dodgers, right? Wasn't it against the Dodgers?
No. Yeah,
it was.
Wait, we're talking Joe Musgrove?
Yeah.
No, it was against the Braves.
Division Series was against the Dodgers. The first round was against the Braves in 2024. I don't think he pitched in that series. Or did he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he came out of the game.
He pitched in the second game. Yeah. You're right. He came out early. Okay, yeah. For now, they got a big lead in that game and hung on.
Yeah. And then I think it was Austin Nola who stopped everything because... I think the story is that Joe knew it was going to go.
I remember the moment when they walked out and you're like, what?
Yeah, and then he's doing the thing with his arm and
everything was going so well. They'd won the first game. They were winning the second game like 5-6-0. Mm-hmm. Musgrove's cruising. Brave guys are going down like, 10-pin bowling.
Yeah, he's doing great.
And then,
everything went cattywampus. But I kind of agree with them. I kind of agree with the Padres. Why rush him back if you don't necessarily have to do that?
Well, I don't know if you don't necessarily have to do it. We just mentioned that the lead is one game. Don't have a lot of room for error.
No, that's true.
And a good Joe Musgrove, is he more reliable even than a good Walker Buehler or Randy Vasquez?
I'll say Randy. Well, I don't know what Joe's going to look like, but according to his starts that he's made in the minor leagues, I would say him over Randy Vasquez for right now.
Yeah. Robbie Ray, we talked about Robbie Ray. He got his first win last night as a Padre, thanks a lot to Fernando's catch. And should mention that Robbie Ray is going to scheduled for our Friar Friday interview this week.
I cannot wait for you guys to ask him about that catch and his
Yeah, I'm sure he'll. Yeah, he was asked about it today.
Yeah.
But here's something that I think is interesting about Robbie Ray. Because you asked me yesterday or today, you said, you hate walks.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And I do. And I think everybody does. Nobody's a big fan of a walk unless your team's getting the walk. And you said Robbie Ray's got to drive you crazy because he does walk guys.
He does.
And what did I tell you? I said, he does to a certain extent, but I also don't feel uncomfortable because Robbie Ray knows how to pitch with guys on base. He's good at it. He's used to it. And so I don't dislike it. I feel like he knows what he's doing, even though he walks guys.
Yeah.
Well, here's proof that I'm right. Robbie Ray is holding opponents to a 188 average this year when there are runners on base, and a 173 average when there's runners in scoring position. What does that tell you? It tells you that Robbie Ray is used to pitching with guys on base, and he knows how to do it.
It sounds like it.
And he's able to get these guys out and, you know, stay out of too much danger. All right. Take a break. When we come back, before Tony left to come back to San Diego with the Padres, he and Scraby engaged in a classic. All right, we got one last segment here before Scraby takes over with the Chronicles. Chris and Mr. Scraby with Tony heading back. Padres fell today to the Mets 4-2. You can get Scraby's take on the ball game at the top of the hour. And the rest of us will have everything for you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Roundtable. Tony is in studio with us tomorrow afternoon for the Gwynn and Chris show starting at 2 o'clock. All right. I think it's become kind of a fun thing on the show. I know Scraby doesn't like it as much because he loses most of the time, but every good segment has a foil, and you just happen to play that well. Now, it doesn't mean you lost this one. This is a very good Fantabulous Sports Game Show that we're able to get done before Tony left New York because we wanted you to hear from Tony, first of all, on the show today. This is new material. This is not a replay of an old...
This is a brand new game.
Yes, this is a brand new game. But it is a great version, I hope you'll enjoy, of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Chance for you to enjoy the battle between Tony and Scraby now.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right!
We like to call it...
I'm gonna go.
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, a little Wednesday edition of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. We had a little extra time today. Obviously, yesterday was just the 1 hour show, so we couldn't get it done. But here we go with another big round of Scraby versus Tony Gwynn. A junior with all of the marbles at stake here.
Lots of marbles.
Yes, and Scraby thinks, of course, that we cheat and Tony and I get together before these and we go over the answers.
It's true. I've just accepted it.
So I've put another layer of intrigue into today's into today's Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Here before me, Scraby, you see I have two pieces of paper.
I see, and they're full of stuff.
All right. Which one do you want to use? This is one subject.
Wow.
This is another.
How do I know you didn't get both of them?
I don't know, but this would make it a little more difficult.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure today.
I'm going to go with what's in your right hand.
Yeah, well, we're using what's in my left hand.
Okay.
It was a good try.
What was the point of this exercise?
I don't know, really. Because I like the one in my left hand better, the one in my right hand will appear soon. I will tell you this, though. The one in your right hand, I'm almost sure Tony would mop the floor with both of us. He knows that.
Okay, so this
so
one's
I think this is a little
me.
Little more open
okay.
for you.
All right.
But here we go. Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Every now and again, not sports related. And today we are going off the board. We're going into the category of geography today, which is a kind of a fun sports Fantabulous game.
Last time we did geography, Hungary was an answer.
Hungary will not be an answer.
I was also a winner, buddy.
It was
you
a winning answer.
Yeah.
Hungary will not be an answer today, but there could be some mispronunciations. You guys don't need to know all of the United States capital cities today. But you do need to know the 21 most populated U.S. capital cities today.
Ooh.
So you're going to name a capital city that has 200,000 or more in population. There are 21 of them.
Wow.
And I think this is a fair shot here. I don't need to get an advantage on this.
Your notes.
Tony's getting notes out.
Where I can write my them.
He's going back to 3 months ago, and I gave him a heads up about this category, and he wrote his notes down.
Exactly,
now he's getting his notes. Yeah.
You know what's sad
is that you believe that.
No.
Yeah, that too.
I have to really think about some of these
capital cities.
Days.
You got to get a capital
city. Yeah, no,
city.
I used to know these like nothing. Now I'm struggling right now.
Yep. This could be interesting. Now again, if you name a capital city that is not in the top 21, that'll be a strike. Of course, also, if you name a city that isn't a capital, that would be an incorrect answer as well.
That
makes it a little trickier.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm ready today.
Scraby, you're up. You want over 200,000 in population. That'll get you in the top 21 and get you a correct answer. You're naming populated U.S. capitals.
See, I'm a little nervous about this because this area is very spread out.
Could you get a strike on the very first guess?
Could be, but I'm going to go with our state capital, Sacramento.
Yeah, why do you say an area? It scared me that you weren't even picking a city.
No, because Sacramento's an area where they have lots of cities, so I don't know if it was actually Sacramento proper.
Sacramento is ninth with 524,000.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Yeah, that was an easy one. So you're right in the middle. They're over 500. 500 for Sacramento.
500.
You're on the board. Actually, just so you guys know, the 500, they're nine above 500, and the other, 10 or 11 are in the 300, 200 range. A little
what
lower.
Are you talking about?
I'm trying to give you an idea where we're at here.
I'm lost.
Nah, that's right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll both keep moving.
You want over 200,000 in population to get on the board. Tony, what do you have?
Let's go Denver.
Denver, Colorado. That'll get you a point. Denver is the capital, 715,000. And it is number five on this particular list. We're tied at one. We're looking for the most populated U.S. capital cities.
What about Tallahassee?
Tallahassee, Florida. That is going to be the first strike of the day.
Tallahassee's a massive city.
You got
not
it,
massive
though.
Massive enough, buddy.
I will say this. It is a capital city. So that was at least that part's good.
Good job, buddy.
Florida State has at least 60,000 people itself.
Scraby, I'm about to lace you up right here, son.
Oh, gosh. I'm
Scraby already has a strike. We're looking for populated capital cities. Tony, what do you got?
About to lace you up. How about Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City, Utah. 199,000.
Wow.
Did not make it.
Wow.
That's a strike as well. So both of you guys, it was really close. Salt Lake City, I saw it on there. I was like, I got to note this if they guess Salt Lake City.
Gave me a little pep in my step.
So you're back to square one. We have 1-1 with one strike each. We're looking for capital cities in the U.S. that are the most populated. And
I got
over 200,000 to be correct. Scraby, your turn.
I hope this
name
is the
capital. Oh, no.
Austin, Texas.
Ooh, are you asking or telling?
I'm telling.
Yeah, Austin's number two on the list.
All right.
Yep, way up there, 961,000.
That's what I was going
to
go with.
One city I've never been to is Austin.
Austin, Texas. Yeah, I've been there, saw an Aztec women's game down there once. And
You like it?
I did. Very nice. People like Austin. They had the Southwest Festival going on there.
South by Southwest, yeah.
It was good. All right, 2-1, Scraby leads. You're looking for capital cities.
I don't know how I didn't think of this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there burning my face off.
Phoenix, Arizona. Numero uno.
I couldn't remember. I knew it was the capital. I was like, is there a small city somewhere?
Phoenix is the leader in this category. 1.6 million.
Wow. Jeez.
It is the only capital city with over a million people. Austin was second. So you guys are back even. 2-2. We're looking for the most populated U.S. capital cities. And it is Scraby in a 2-2 tie.
Well, I can tell you when I went to Colorado State, we used to go to Cheyenne, Wyoming, which is the capital, and I maybe saw three people, so I'm not going to
guess that. You're not going to guess that.
I'm not going to guess that one.
All right, well, you've eliminated one. That's good,
yes,
Scraby.
Yes, I've eliminated one. Let's go with...
It's really
Raleigh.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ooh, good one.
Good that you even knew it was the capital.
I knew that.
Even better yet, that it's 11th, 467,000. That
These
is correct.
These capitals are smaller than I thought.
Raleigh, I know. This is why this is a tough category. When Salt Lake City, you'd think was a gimme, and that wasn't quite
that
there.
That is true.
So,
just came up with another one.
3-2. Scraby leads. 5 correct answers. 16 to go. We're looking for the most populated U.S. capital cities. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Played here for quite a bit of time.
Ah,
go with Nashville, Tennessee.
You did play there. Your statue counts as a resident, so it's 689,001. No, I don't know. 689. Nashville is correct. Tony did play there.
Cross off Memphis from the list.
You were going to guess Memphis?
Memphis. Not
I should have let you guess Memphis.
That is a little bit of a problem with this category for sure, as you can end up getting one that's not even a candidate to be correct. But all right, 3-3, one strike apiece. Scraby with 15 answers to go. You got number 4 and 5 still on the list, so a couple of bigger ones are still out there.
What about, oh, I almost said something. And I
almost said, okay, this is getting nerve-wracking here.
Oh, okay.
Madison, Wisconsin. Sneaks in there at 269, Scrave. That is correct.
My cousin is a cop there.
Really? Ooh, yes. And does that help you know that no, it was populated?
Yeah, no, I just knew. I knew Madison was the, yes. Because I asked her what time. No, I asked her what time. I was like, is Madison a big city? And she's like, it's a decently big city. So
it's a good thing, good thing your cousin wasn't a
police officer in like Sheboygan?
Cheyenne or something. Then you would have guessed it. 4-3, Scraby leads. 7 down, 14 to go. We're looking for the most populated U.S. capital cities. One strike apiece. This seems to be a very entertaining category today and very close between these two guys.
ATL has to be on there. Atlanta.
Georgia's got to be there.
I wasn't sure if it was the capital, to be honest.
It is the capital, okay. And it is there at 498, just under Sacramento. But, yes, Atlanta's good. That is a correct answer. We are tied at 4.
You know, this is teaching me I need to go refresh my capitals.
We have number 3, 4, 7, and 8 as far as the top 10. And then everything else is getting down into where you're really praying at the bottom of the list.
Is there a territory that counts?
A territory. Why does he come up with this? Capital cities. Washington, D.C. is not a capital city.
Thank you.
Is that a capital city?
I should say a state capital city. There, does that help you? Now you can.
Okay, I got one.
You got one.
Assuming a lot of military live here, Richmond.
Richmond, Virginia.
Virginia.
Scraby going on the eastern seaboard here. And yes, Richmond, Virginia is not only a capital city, it is 226,000 people, enough to get over the threshold.
And I know that their school is the Richmond Spiders.
Very good.
So, all right. Good reason to guess. Thank you.
Scraby leads 5-4. We have 12 correct answers to go. This is going to get crazy here. Both guys have a strike. Tony Gwynn Jr., you're giving him a bell for this one?
Sorry.
He didn't even guess.
No, I didn't get mine right.
Tony, what do you have?
Let's go.
He's getting a little...
How about Boston?
You know, that is correct. I just like the fact that Tony's not, like, reeling him off like he normally does. Yeah, Boston is there. Boston is 8th, 675,000 people. Yeah, when you think about it, you know, Boston has such a rivalry with New York, but Boston has 600,000 people. New York has 8 million.
Yeah.
But they rival each other, but it's really not even close in terms of population. We are tied at 5. 11 correct answers to go. One strike apiece. Scraby.
What about Charleston, South Carolina?
Charleston, South Carolina. That's a tiny little state and a tiny little city, and that is Steve Reich, too, Scraby. I'm sorry to say. Charleston is, it's a beautiful city, and I'm actually going there on vacation, but that's not going to... It's not going to help you in this category.
Not
going to
help you, buddy.
Sorry. All right, Tony can get his first lead. You still got number 3, 4, and 7 available. 3, 4, and 7. Boston was number 8. 3, 4, and 7 if you want to guess one of those, or you get another down at the bottom.
Give me Columbus, Ohio.
It's been on my list forever. I just didn't know.
Come on, Columbus.
Number 3,
905,000.
Yeah, Columbus is big.
Columbus?
Columbus has more people than Cleveland or Cincinnati, believe it or not. Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Columbus. It's not that big.
Not bad for somebody who lived in Ohio for 100 years.
I went to an Ohio State-Michigan game. That's when the population shows up.
Did it? They must have counted the day of an Ohio State game.
Well, I've been to Columbus. I've seen how small that city is.
Well, you're on the doorstep here now. 6-5, Scrabe. You got to get one here to keep it alive. There are 10 correct answers to go.
I'm going
to
go with a polis. Indianapolis.
Yeah, there you go. Indianapolis, big time city. Yeah, and number 4, actually. 887,000, the capital of Indiana. That is correct. Very good. So we're tied at 6. None of the top 10, actually none of the top 11 are available. So You're down at the bottom now. This is going to be a little bit of guesswork, I think.
Here we go.
You know, there's two here that have 300,000, and then every other correct answer is in the 200,000. Cool. So you're right there. That's Tony's turn. Ooh. He's got the, we had a tie score, but Tony has an extra turn here because Scraby has an extra strike. Tony can take the lead again. With a correct answer, there are, let me see, six, so nine to go. Looking for most populated U.S. state capital cities. If you're just tuned in, the Fantabulous Sports Game Show, we've got Scraby and Tony thinking hard today. Tony?
I'm running out of places I know of capitals.
I'm still shocked that Tallahassee isn't on the list.
Poor Tony's running out of places that he played in the minor leagues. He's trying to think, where did I play? Racine? And no, that's in Wisconsin. That's no good.
Chris knows me far too well, apparently. How about St. Paul?
St. Paul, Minnesota, home of the Twins. That is where the stadium is, I believe, is it not? I don't know. It's correct answer, though. 311,000. It's the second largest city in Minnesota. I'm assuming the largest is Minneapolis across the river, but St. Paul's the capital. Why is that cheating?
St. Paul is cheating. Oh. They should just combine with Minneapolis.
All right, 7-6. Tony, 8 correct answers to go. Again, Scraby on the doorstep.
Tallahassee really screwed
me. Well, stop it. You're past it. They're not
on
here.
Brother, move on.
Okay. I mean, we got some small states.
You still got number 7 on there if you're looking for... I don't know if that's going to help you find it.
All right, let me just guess it. It's a massive state, but I have no idea. Albany.
Yeah. I don't want this game to end. I want to give it to you, but I can't give it to you. Albany's not on there. I'm sorry. Strike 3.
Sorry, Scrave.
Scrave has gone down in a category that he loves, geography.
Is Lexington on the list?
It's not the capital, so it certainly wouldn't be the capital. Scraby's begging for stuff after it was over. Great one, great battle. Tallahassee, 197,000 as of that census. They just missed by a few thousand.
That is insane that Tallahassee is not on that list.
Yeah,
Tallahassee is a massive city.
Well, not populated to that extent, apparently. Normally, we would give you all the correct answers. You could look it up if you really need to find out. But anyways, a fun, fantabulous sports game show. Hope you had a good day today. Scraby will come back with a Chronicle, so Padre fans, stick around for another hour of talk show. And then we're back tomorrow morning at 9 with the Roundtable and at 2 o'clock with the Gwen and Chris Show. Adios, everyone.